kind of one of those things that's always been... I've always wanted to do something that was just me, and that's it. Every record I've ever done has always had at least one or two other people kind of contributing to it. And it was one of those things where, like, okay, this is something I gotta do. It's like, you know, and I kept making excuses of not doing it and not doing it. And so finally, earlier this year, before my birthday in March, I was like, okay, I'm 30. I gotta do this before I'm done being 30. So the idea was I was gonna do it when I was 30. That was like the solo record, you know, midlife crisis thing.
And not quite midlife.
Well, depending on how long you live.
Yeah. Awesome.
But the turning 30, you gotta do something else kind of thing. And so I had like a month left until I wasn't 30 anymore. So I decided I needed to just shut up and do it. So I just focused all my energy on that. And I knew the new AM stuff was kind of gonna start slowing down because we put out a record last year. So I wanted, I just wanted to do something quiet, something that could be played by one person, you know.
And did the New Amsterdams, did that start out as more of a, like, as you with kind of some other people helping you and then gel into a real solid lineup?
Complicated thing because it started off as a side project.
Uh-huh.
When the Getup Kids are still around. And then when that band broke up, the New AMs became my full-time thing, and at the same time, I kind of gelled with the three other guys in the band. And it's still, you know, it's still my band, you know? Like, I still write most of the stuff and do all the business and make all the decisions and stuff, but I'd say it's a very firm lineup and kind of stylistic direction that we've kind of gone in, you know? And I think that has to do with, so it's kind of a convoluted and confusing thing to say, like, well, I have this band that I, you know, it's my band, but then I'm also doing a solo record, and it's just, I don't know. You know what it really is? I didn't want to put out another New Amsterdam's record that was just one person. Because, and this is totally stupid, but I don't like being billed in the plural if I'm just one guy. So it's like the New Amsterdams, but just one person. So then it's like, well, do I go with New Amsterdam? Or do I just say screw it and just do a solo record?
Yeah.
So that's what I, you know, that and the turning 30 thing, those were my two reasons for it. But yes, the New Amsterdams started off as more of like a side project. It's always had that element of me doing just solo acoustic stuff within that, but that will probably change at this point.
What has your daily life been like lately, I guess? Have you been touring very much, or
New AMs touring in April and May. We went to Europe in May. We did the West Coast in April. We've had June and July basically off, so I've been home. And I start the solo tour August 6th.
And then is that going to be a big tour or a small tour?
It's the longest tour I've done in over 4 years. Yeah. It's like 4.5, almost 5 weeks. That's the longest I've been away from home for. The last tour I did that was even close to that long was the Getup Kids opening up Honda Civic tour in 2004. That was like 6 weeks or something. I think. It was long and tedious.
You're
just getting the paper.
Menus or something. several of the past, you know, just before coming out here, I looked up the past articles that, like, John Nickham has written or the Horns.com, right? And couple of them, you know, said basically follow the, you know, were focused on moving from the, you know, rock and roll kind of lifestyle, get up kids type thing, to, you know, settling down, kids, you know, trying to stay more at home, that kind of stuff. Is that kind of what your life has been like the last few years? And what's, you know?
Well, I never really had the traditional rock and roll lifestyle, even when, you know, even before I was married or before I had a family. It was just, you know, we toured a lot. Get Up Kids toured a lot and drank a good amount, but it wasn't really... I was more the play the show, go drink beer on the bus and watch TV kind of guy. So in that sense, like, getting married and having kids didn't change things that much, but what it really did change for me is that I didn't want to be away as much anymore, and that it's taken me this long since then, since my, you know, like 5 years or so, to kind of really figure out that this is kind of part of the job, and I just kind of need to, if I'm going to continue to be able to make a living playing music, then I have to travel, and I have to travel for big chunks, but then I get big chunks off, you know? So, month on, 2 months off, month on, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's not my ideal, but I'm kind of coming to terms with it, trying to make the best, you know, best of it.
Does the fam ever join you on tour?
Yeah, actually, my son, one of my sons came out with us for the entire tour in April, and then, my wife came over to Europe for a little while, which was nice. And then I think on this trip they're gonna come out like sporadic, like weekends and stuff like that. So depending on how expensive plane tickets are, they're getting worse. Hang on 1 second, I'm gonna grab another beer. Well, it kind of goes in a couple of different stages. When I first started touring, I was the one who was the, like, I didn't drink at all, and I was the one who drove the van all the time, and I was the one who, like, loaded the gear and got everybody out of bed in the morning and all that kind of crap.
Like back when you were like 18,
yeah,
or
yeah,
20,
yeah.
That kind of stuff.
And then when the van got a little bigger and we had like a tour manager and all that sort of stuff, I just didn't really do much of anything except play the show, and that got really boring, I would say. And then now it's kind of like, I actually try to find more things to do outside of the tour itself. Like when we go, camping, you know, or we like take the scenic route, even if it adds like an extra hour on, you know, an hour or two onto the drive. We try to stay off the interstate as much as possible and try to like eat the places that, you know, are interesting and see the things that are interesting. And I didn't really ever think of touring as like anything other than, you know, work, really.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that answered your question or not, but it's something.
Yeah. All right, and kind of a different note, I guess, with, you know, comparing the sound of the Get Up Kids to the New Amsterdams, DJ described as more, you know, more mellow, kind of more stripped down or whatever, and then Confidence Man, is that even, how would you describe that sound compared to the New Amsterdams?
I think it probably fits in with the New Amsterdam stuff. I mean, it's not anything new. Like, every one of the New Amsterdam records had at least like one song that is real naked like that. So it fits in like that. But then again, there were Get Up Kids songs that were really stripped down acoustic bass stuff as well. Excuse me. So I don't really. I see it as kind of an extension of the whole. You know, just kind of like one facet of it. Kind of gives me the opportunity to have the New Amsterdams be more of a band and not really have to like I had this sort of like juggling thing where I want to do the band and then I want to do like solo acoustic and I want to do the band and I want to do solo acoustic, and now I feel like I can kind of compartmentalize and do both.
Yeah, sort of.
Maybe.
Who did you work with on the record? Where did you record it?
I did it all myself. I recorded it and performed everything on it. And I did most of it in my garage. A little studio set up in my garage. And then my friend Colin, who mixed all the Terrible 2 stuff in the last two new Amstand records, mixed it. But there wasn't a whole lot to mixing it. And then I even actually took the picture on the cover. I've never done it.
I was gonna ask who was that in that?
That's my daughter. Okay. That's my daughter Lily. It's in Central Park. And I just thought it looked cool, so I sent it to the art guy at Vagrant, and he, you know, laid it out, and I was like, kind of goes with the theme of like doing the whole thing myself, that I actually took the record cover picture.
As far as the title about Confidence Band, can you tell me about that, or what that signifies?
Well, it's the song on the record, uh-huh. And it's kind of about... I find that this happens a lot in the music industry, and I imagine it happens in a lot of different industries as well, where you get a lot of what you get when you're in a band is you get people blowing smoke up your ass all the time. You get people telling you that, like, you know, oh, you're awesome, this is gonna be huge, you know, and then it either, one of two things happens, either it works and everybody's your best friend, or it doesn't work and they all disappear. And I kind of feel like it's a bit of a con, you know? It's sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Dishonest, disingenuous sort of thing. So it's kind of about that. But then I like the idea that it's a title because it kind of sounds like I'm pulling a scam. Sort of like, oh, I'm just, of course I can do a solo record, you know?
Continuing on that last thought you just said, you know, in the music industry, there's a lot of, you know, people around.
Not all people, but they're out there, you know.
Can you give me any more specifics, I guess, or on what you mean by that?
Like who specifically the song is about?
Yeah.
I can't really do that, but...
Or maybe not like super specifically, but kind of some experience you've had that...
Oh, I've had... I mean, it's kind of a culmination of several different experiences. I mean, we used to... Like, before I signed to Vagrant the first time, like, we were, you know, because we're getting courted by major labels and stuff like that, and there were some shady, smarmy dudes that hung around, but I mean, it's, you know... I don't even know. My allegiance has been pretty set for a while, so I don't... I mean, I did my own thing for a little bit, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of what I can tell you. I mean, you don't have to necessarily have it be like a music industry kind of thing. It's just really sort of like... I don't know. You ever had anybody in your life that you've like put a lot of faith in and then they just kind of disappeared on you?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone has.
That's kind of the same thing. Mine just happens to be in, you know, part of my job.
Yeah, I read an interview with Dylan recently where he was talking about his book he writes, and he said, reading the reviews about his last book, Chronicles, his autobiography, that he thought the book, or he said in his opinion, the music industry was kind of unique in a way of just all the stuff surrounding it, like the reviews and the journalists like me and stuff, was a lot different compared. He said he thought the book industry was a lot more down to earth, and the criticism was more.
I wonder about that because I always figured that the movie industry was worse than the music industry because there's so much more money to be made. And it costs so much more money to like get anything done. That was, and then also like, you know, actors. But it is, I think the music industry is unique in that, I mean, sometimes like reviews, like you get to the point where you like have to like not read them, because either you end up with like an inflated head, or you end up with like this crushing like self-doubt, like, you know, like I suck, like I, why do I even bother with this? And then if you put out a record that's like, we did a the new Amstrad, the last record we did for Vega was called Story Like a Star, and the reviews were split down the middle. You either liked it or you hated it. And so it's like, oh, we'll look up a review. And it's like, one review would be like, this is the best stuff I've ever done. Next review would be like, this is crap. Like, literally, like that would be the whole review, like, this is crap. And you just gotta have kind of a thick skin about that kind of stuff, but I don't know about the book industry. Like, it,
yeah,
it seems like they would cutthroat in their own way, you know? And then, this came up earlier, because we were talking about how on Lawrence.com and on the Journal World, how you can post comments after the articles. I think that's kind of, I don't know if that's a common thing with online newspapers or not.
I think it's more common now.
It kind of, and you know, I'm sure this will go in the article and I'll jinx myself, but it kind of sucks sometimes, you know, where it's just like, sometimes you read it and you'll like read an article and like this family down the street from me, his house burned down and they didn't have any homeowners insurance. And you know, my reaction to reading the article was I felt very sorry for them. And then the postings afterwards are like, what the fuck were they thinking? They didn't have homeowners insurance? It's like, you're a dick. Why don't you just like, you know, they just lost everything and you're gonna criticize them after they've lost everything? You're gonna kick them while they're down, you know? So. But then I'm sure at the end of this thing, it'll be like, he sounds like such an asshole. Who does he think he is criticizing the people who post them?
Can you also tell me about the new Terrible Twos?
Yeah. What would you like to
know?
We got a two show coming up. The day after the solo show. It's going to be a busy weekend for me. But yeah, Terrible Twos record. Same day, July 29th, in the same vein as the last one, but more kind of upbeat.
And that's all the same guys from the New Amsterdam, so.
Yeah. It's basically the New Amsterdam's for children, which is really just the way I, hang on, excuse me. The way I describe it is that it's like the same thing as like New Amsterdam songs, but it's about like bugs and dinosaurs and dumb crap like that. You know, like just sort of like silly, nonsensical kind of lyrics.
But you said the new one's a little more upbeat, you said, than the...
Well, the last one was upbeat. This one just has more, more drums, I guess, in it. And when we started doing two shows, we realized that the quieter, like, we had better shows if we were playing fast and could get the kids to dance. So like everything with this new record is kind of based on being able to move to it, because it just makes it easier when you play it live, like getting these, you know, it's hard enough to get a 3-year-old to like sit still and watch you play, but if you engage them and you're like, okay, this is where we're gonna jump and this is where we're gonna march and clap your hands, and then it holds their attention a lot better. That's kind of the foundation of the new twos record.
And then, you know, kind of a general question, I guess, but, you know, doing all these things with the solo project, New Amsterdam, the twos, you know, balancing all these things, and you know, at the same time, you know, trying to make a living, support your family and stuff like that. What's that like, I guess?
It takes a lot of forethought. It's, for example, I knew I needed to finish the twos record, or the new Ames record, the solo record. See, now, the twos record was finished as with the first one, a long time ago. Like, it gets done, and then it just sits around till it's time to put it out. I knew if I wanted to put out the solo record this summer and go on tour this summer, that I needed to have it done by the 1st of April. So it's like, you know, here it is, say it's February, and you're like, okay, I have to have the record turned in with artwork by the 1st of April. And then I have to sit on my ass until it comes out at the end of July. And then I go on tour for 5 weeks at that point. And that's, if I'm gonna make any money on anything, it's from being on the road. So I feel like kind of conceptualize the whole thing at the beginning of the year to sort of like pay off anything in the middle or at the end of the year. So you have to be kind of one step ahead of the game, kind of. And I've never been very good at it. So I'm starting to finally pick it up. Because with the Get Up Kid stuff, it's like we were always constantly touring. Like, it was always like in this sort of constant cycle. And I never really noticed that, like, the pay structure is really weird. Because it's, I mean, if you only got paid on record sales, you get paid twice a year, you know? So, I mean, you figure you can't like, and you don't know what you're going to make, you know, twice a year. Because it's just, it's all based on what you've sold. So
the touring and the money you get from that is the only thing that you can really count on and kind of calculate about what it'll be.
You can come up with budgets based on your guarantees, but you don't really know, you know. You know, you just try to get it in the black and then get the budget in the black and then go out and hopefully you won't lose your ass. But yeah. And even that, it's like you want to have, you know, the tour coincide with the record release, so it's like, if I want to make money in August, I have to figure out in February when I'm going to, you know what I mean? It's kind of, it's just weird. It's a strange cycle, and you can't really, you've got to kind of keep doing it, you know? Like, kind of keep constantly putting stuff out and keep constantly trying to do things, and then eventually, hopefully, something will stick.
And I think too many local stories kind of focus too much on this, in my opinion, but, you know, what's it like, you know, settling down, living in Lawrence, and, you know, doing this stuff. I know, you know, some people, some local acts get too entrenched in Lawrence, maybe it seems like, or something, you know, like, or it can get too, too settled down or too relaxed with where they're at and being counties.
I heard someone refer to it one time as the golden handcuffs, in that it's really fantastic, but it's so easy to be here that it kind of can keep you from doing anything else in your life. And I've never really been able to make a living just off of playing in Lawrence or Kansas City. And in fact, initially, couldn't make any money playing in Lawrence or Kansas City. But so I tend to now think of Lawrence as like where I live, not necessarily where I work. So that's why, like, the only shows that I've done in town, I mean, this two show that we're doing at the Replay will be the first like paid gig I've done in Lawrence in years. And like the solo show that I'm doing is, you know, at Love Garden. So it's not like, I don't know, I really like it here, and I really do support like the music scene, but at the same time, this is, like, I like raising a family here. It's not really like, I wouldn't call this like a, like, I wouldn't ever want to think of this as like a big market for me, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just, I'd love it if it was like, you know, big market for like my friends coming through town, but for me, I just want to kind of live here, you know, go to Free State and go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
So
can you tell me a little bit about where your, another kind of pretty general question, but where your sound is kind of, how it's, in what direction it's been evolving, you know, going back to, you know, all the way back to when you started playing with the Get Up Kids and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, I started the New Amsterdams because I wanted to do kind of more of a singer-songwriter kind of thing. And it kind of got to the point with the Get Up Kids where you kind of feel like an idiot when you're... I mean, when you're 18 and you're, like, jumping around like a gibbon and, you know, doing this, like, kind of high-energy, kind of pseudo-punk rock kind of stuff, it fits. But when you're 27 and you're doing that, it just feels kind of... silly,
yeah.
You know, and I still, it's weird for, to me, because I still have that where it's like, to me, like a good show is like a really high energy, like a lot of movement kind of thing, and I have to really concentrate on what I'm doing if we're going to do like a quiet sounding, intimate sounding thing, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of a weird, to wrap my head around the idea that you can have a good show that's just kind of quiet as long as you play well. So I guess, you know, in that sense, it's just gotten older.
Do you have any other upcoming plans besides, you know, the upcoming tour and that kind of stuff?
Kind of in the works talking about whether to do international stuff on the solo record, sort of talking about what labels are going to put it out in Europe and Australia and Japan and stuff, kind of weighing those. Those are harder for me because it's so much further away than here. Like, at least if I'm, you know, in Texas, I know that, like, if I needed to get home really fast, like, I could. If I'm in Japan, that's not as easy to do. It stresses me out. But again, it's kind of part of the job. So if they put the record out in Japan, then I'll probably go over there and play some shows, or if they put it out in Europe or whatever. It's kind of where I'm at with the rest of the year, trying to figure that stuff out. So
can you tell me a little bit more about, especially in reference to like the Terrible Twos album, what it's like, you know, being a family man and that kind of stuff while, you know, being a working musician, touring and that stuff?
Lately they've been kept pretty separate. I mean, it's just a lot of driving on the road, so it's not so much that, like, it's a bad environment for the kids to be in. It's just it's like 4 to 8 hours a day in the car, so it gets kind of, I mean, for a long time, it just gets kind of hard on a little kid, you know. You end up stopping at, like, McDonald's with the, like, big place things a lot. Then you end up eating at McDonald's and you just don't feel very good about yourself. But what you gonna do?